Looks like Ran, either Ran or Rob and Val.
Jim, if you don't mind, maybe I'll just go down the, like on the agenda and if they're here, they just say aye.
Sure.
Okay. Jim Anderson.
Aye.
Ran Middleton.
Here.
Val Swanson.
Aye.
Tom Gilbertson. Here. Andy Ogdahl.
Aye.
Abdi.
Aye.
Chloe.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Julie.
Here.
Okay, I'm here. Alex.
Here.
Britta.
Here.
Kurt and Gary.
I'm here. Gary's here also.
Ryan.
Here.
And Becky is here as well. And then our guests are Jared Vogie.
Here.
Rachel.
Can you just turn that? Can you turn it down?
Yeah.
Is Rachel on yet? Is James Miller on board? Jared, have you heard anything from Rachel at all?
Yeah, I thought I saw her on the attendee list just a couple minutes ago.
I thought I saw RS. Maybe that was Ryan. Yeah. I'll send her a quick message.
Rob, would you like for us to start the meeting?
Sure, if you're ready.
Sure. So, yeah, so we'll open up the meeting and the first, I just wondered if there's any additions or corrections to the agenda. I just have one, just to remove the public forum from the agenda. Anybody else have any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward. The first on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion and a second to approve the minutes?
I so move.
So Rand moves, and is there a second?
I'll second.
And the second was by?
Andy.
By Andy, thank you. Any discussion at all? Hearing no discussion, all in favor, this we can signify by everybody saying hi. Or aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any?
Aye.
Good deal. Same sign if anybody's opposed. So that motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the Invest in Wilmer presentation regarding Robbins Island. And this is, if I understand correct, is a subcommittee report, correct? And Luke, can I just say one thing before we get going? I'm just introducing that as the agenda item. Rob, I'm just wondering if you have anything that you'd like to say prior to the presentation.
Well, we have Rachel here from the subcommittee of the Robbins Island group. They worked really good together with a lot of different identities and come up with a really good project. I don't want to steal any of her thunder. So I'd like to introduce Rachel and Jared, and they will be able to walk you through the plans. Rachel.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Is James Miller here today too? No? Okay.
I have not seen them on yet.
Okay. Thanks so much for the intro, Rob. I think everyone knows me on the Park Board Committee. So hi, welcome. Thanks so much for allowing this to continue through video conference so our project doesn't get delayed and we can kind of get things rolling to move forward on it to the next phase. With me today here is also Jared with Bolton and Mink, and I'd like to thank him too for all the work he's done with us. Just a little refresher for you. Our committee has met on and off for about a year now, and the work that we were assigned to do was to use the $3 million that was allocated from the local option sales tax that was approved to put towards Robbins Island for roads, parking lots, and shelters that was advertised to the community when the vote happened. Really, we were lucky with our committee because a lot of the groundwork was already done through the Robbins Island Mayor's Task Force Committee, which I was also on, along with James Miller. And so with that work already done with some of the details, we were able to kind of fine tune how we wanted this park to look for the parking lots, the road, and the shelter designs for that $3 million. So we gave our suggestions and inputs over this last year to Jared and his team, and we came up with this plan that we're going to be presenting to you and hopefully kind of move it forward along the chain of command of all the different groups. And then finally presented towards the city council. So again, Bolton and Mink did a great job, and a special thanks to them. And we really wanted to also hear, besides our committee's input, we wanted to really hear the input from city staff and public works staff on how they see our ideas coming to life and how it will also work for them to maintain over the years. So I will let now Jared kind of present to you this design. And at the end, when he's done speaking, that's when we can kind of maybe say your name and we'll answer any questions you might have.
All right, well, thanks, Rachel. good afternoon, everybody. Jared Vogie with Bolton and Mink. Today, as Rachel mentioned, we want to present the plans that have been prepared for the Robbins Island Parking and Water Main Improvement Project. Consists of reconstructing of parking lots, drive aisles, some water main improvements, and then also we've identified through the project planning process two alternates to be added to the bid. And ultimately I want to dive into that a little bit, what an alternate means. Ultimately, the alternates that we've identified are two shelters, one being open shelter number one and the other one being a hilltop shelter. And as we set up the contract, that provides an opportunity for the contractors to bid on the core improvements, which consist of the parking, drive aisles, and water main. And then they also add prices for the alternates. And at that point, once the bids come back in, and depending on where everything falls in with the budget, then the city council would have the opportunity to award just the core improvements, which are the parking and drive aisles and water main. They could award the core improvements plus one alternate, or they could award the core improvements plus two alternates. And ultimately, it's all based on where the bid prices come in for the project. So with that, I'm going to share my screen here and show the plan. I believe everybody's had an opportunity to see that already. However, I just want to be able to share that. Is everybody able to see the graphic on the screen?
Yes.
Awesome.
Jim. Yep. Jim. Yes.
All right. So, basically, and I'm going to go through this legend over here on the side a little bit, just so that as we discuss the improvements, there's not a lot of confusion. So everything in green, this color over here, that's the new improvements that are proposed as part of the project. And we'll walk through these here in a minute. The salmon color right here, that indicates existing improvements on the site that will be removed. So that's primarily the existing parking areas. And then the yellow signifies items that are staying in place. And we didn't highlight everything around the trail loop around the island, but that is staying in place. We just wanted to give an idea in the general vicinity of this project area of the existing trails, et cetera, that are staying. So as you can see, the access to the site remains relatively unchanged. The radiuses or the approaches into the site are going to be widened just slightly, make the curve a little bit better so vehicles traveling in and out of the site can access it better. But for all practical purposes, that access really doesn't change from a width perspective. As we start here in the southwest corner, there is a new boat launch. We're calling it the Southwest Boat Launch being proposed. And then just northeast of that is a new parking lot. There was a lot of discussion at the subcommittee level about the fact that people may dock their boats. They have other friends and family that probably get on the boat with them that maybe didn't arrive in the same vehicle. And this parking lot provides them an opportunity to recreate with those individuals with the boats. And as a result of that, recognizing that in most cases, people take the path, they're the shortest distance between two points, they felt strongly that this trail connection needed to be added. The other benefit of this parking lot in this location is it provides access, excuse me, to this shelter. So this is the shelter that's identified as alternate number one. It's currently proposed as a 20 by 40 shelter with a 16 foot overhang. The overhang was felt to be important to provide an opportunity for people to sit on picnic tables outside underneath the shelter and still be more outside than within the shelter. So just north of that, we have a couple new trail connections to the existing trail network and roadway in this location, provides access all the way up to the new Four Seasons shelter. Moving to the other side, near Wilmer Lake, again, another new parking area proposed. There are 12 stalls being proposed for vehicles, and then the long dash lines, that is boat and trailer parking. In this location, the existing access road here remains in place, and we simply connect it with the new improvements. This is an existing access to the site. It will remain, however, it'll be improved with bituminous surface. As we move north into the site, one thing that I did want to point out is that curb and gutter has been proposed along this main access drive up until this point, generally in this location, on both sides of the access road. And then the other portion of the improvement that has curb and gutter is right along this west side of this proposed parking lot. What that does here is provides a separation between the vehicles and the trail that is proposed to connect to the existing system. So continuing west, this area is a new proposed access, improved access, I should say, replacing what's there. This parking lot, 19 stalls currently proposed. That parking lot is generally in the same location as the existing parking lot out there. Similarly, we have parking proposed here, and then a new trail connection along the north side of this road that connects to the existing trail systems at the park. The blue line that you see coming across the site, that's actually the new water line to replace the deficient line that currently exists, which runs generally in this location and direction. A couple other things that I did want to point out about the proposed improvements. Currently at the site, there are 200 parking stalls. With this improvement, there will be 237 parking stalls. Now that's for vehicles. And then in addition to that, with the boat launches, there will be 13 boat and trailer parking stalls. As part of the design process, we also did receive some comments relative to handicap accessibility to the destination playground. And as a result of that, I'm going to try to zoom in here a little bit. Additional handicap parking stalls were installed in this location, which will provide access for people to that area as well as the trail network. You might be asking or thinking to yourself, what is this green thing? That's actually an access that is going to be utilized during the Celebrate the Light of the World event. And that was a request of the committee so that event can continue to be successful and traffic circulation can be maintained for that event. There will be a swing away or removable gate placed in this location so people don't simply just continue to drive on there. This existing trail will be utilized during that event. However, it won't be for vehicles outside of that event. So with that, I will pause. And Rachel, please jump in. And one thing I did forget to point out is this alternate number two, Hilltop Shelter. Very similar to the concept here, except for Hilltop Shelter, alternate number two is not being proposed with an overhang. It would simply be 20x40. The shelters, we've worked with the contractor that is constructing the Four Seasons shelter and identified the materials similar in nature, same color roof, for example, as the Four Seasons shelter, and some of the interior materials, FRP, that makes maintenance much easier for staff who need to maintain that. So now I'll pause and ask if there's any questions.
So again, like as Rachel maybe mentioned on the giddy up, is that if you have a question for Rachel or Jared, if you just announce your name and then they'll recognize you for a question.
Middleton here. Yes, I have a question, perhaps more for Rachel, and that I would like to know about the discussions that went into the decision to close the road during the summer months.
Rand, that was decided way back with the Robbins Island Mayor's Task Force. That's back when we had Stuart Crosby with SRF Consulting that was hired, and he did some work with the city, with Parks and Rec, doing overall master planning. And that was something that was done, and Rob wasn't here for it as director. It was Steve Brizendine, but we were having monthly meetings as a mayor's task force, and when we came up with these plans on what would be the best overall master plan for Robbins Island, we came up with two scenarios, and we asked for the public to come and voice their opinion, and that was the overall decision that was made by the community. And the reason why, too, is because when we think of a park, we think of a nature area where you can come and feel comfortable to recreate and play. And especially at Robbins Island, with the center being the playground and having the frisbee golf that is now spread over towards Hedin, you don't feel comfortable being able to walk around this park or bike or run at all because of the car traffic. And there really is nothing, you know, that you can't access by parking in the handicap parking and actually having to walk on that road and go off into a trail. And it also is economically, financially, is that by having that road now become a walking, biking trail, it's already done the legwork for us. We're just closing it off to car traffic during spring, summer, fall, but it will stay as a loop for the Celebrate the Lights. Does that help answer your question, Rand?
Yes, very good, thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
This is Tom here. I'm curious what the large open space behind the beach will be utilized for.
Where that it says 115 existing stalls?
Yeah.
That will be a grassy area to my knowledge, and Rob could help me out there. But what they're also hoping for in the possibly in the future is that they could put a skating rink there. Because that building then could be used as like a warming house. And during, if they had some type of like the Celebrate the Lights event, then you could kind of maybe have an event one weekend where it'd be like hot chocolate and skating and sledding or any types of like family event. But it could be a possibility instead of, there's just too much liability with cleaning off the lake and having people skate on the lake, that they would put, they could turn that area into a skating rink.
Okay. I would add to it, it's going to be more of a level area too. So if we wanted to host a, like the Rib Fest that comes in, that'd be a perfect location for it because of the parking location. That's a flat area and then a bigger gathering area.
Middleton again, Rob, will there still be fields to the east of the parking area be available for soccer fields?
Correct. We would still put some soccer goals on everything out there and the volleyball courts.
Julie, presently in those shelters for the options, what's the electrical and would there be porta potties maybe by the hilltop one?
Kurt, can you answer that for Julie with the power? Both shelters do have power, would have power to them. Maybe I'm answering it actually. There is a bathroom facility up there by Hilltop that could be utilized. And I'm guessing that down by the loading dock area that there would be a mini biff there as well.
Those were, if I can also add, those were kind of the reasons why we chose those two locations of those shelters is because the access from the road for people to use if they just wanted a small gathering, and what was already established there as far as the groundwork of the electrical too. But they seem pretty perfect when you have the hilltop, when you have the parking stalls right there to go towards, and then also with the one right next to the beach as the next popular. And Rob could probably give us the numbers if we really wanted to of how many people rent out which shelters there. So that's why we picked those what we chose.
So Julie again, so what'll happen to the other, I think is the other one by the Destination Playground, is that called the Leaf Shelter? And then the what's the one on the north end? What happens to those?
There's two shelters north of the playground that is Leaf and Green. Some of that is going to be used for storage. On Green Shelter, the Public Works Department does use a third of that roughly for storage for summer mowers and everything. As of right now, they'll probably just stay there. We have looked at maybe potentially moving one of them to become a better warming house at some of the outdoor rinks.
Tom here again. Is there a plan in place to slow down traffic between the playground and the Four Seasons Shelter?
Tom, are you, this is Jared. Are you referring to generally in this area?
Correct.
Yeah, so the proposed width of this access coming in is actually 30 feet. And you'll notice in this area, if I zoom, if I zoom in a little bit, there's actually a transition down to 24 feet. So that's what we actually refer to as traffic calming. When you go from a wider street into a more narrow location. So there will be some of that. Currently, there are not any speed bumps or anything like that proposed as part of this, as part of this plan. But in recognizing high traffic areas plus this crosswalk, the change in the road width was another consideration. So,
okay.
I think signage is also a key thing too, is just if we have great signage from the start when we change this plan for people to get it and a new normal in their heads of how they come into the park and how they, if they want to take that road. We thought about those speed bumps, but Kurt and Rob could probably give their thoughts. I'm sure it's just a maintenance with when it comes to snow removal, if there could be bumping on those if they're not careful. And that's kind of a main consideration too, why we don't have curb and gutter throughout the whole road and parking lots too, is just it's a maintenance issue that you're going to be scuffing it up sides more so than not. And also for someone like Tom, who is a Rotary member, on the north edge of that parking lot, you'll be able then to pull in through that parking lot and then drive onto the grass when you need to for Rockin' Robins.
Yeah, Rachel, as far as the speed bumps go, you are correct. As far as the maintenance goes, we would rather not have the speed bumps, but I guess if we find that there's an issue down the road, that's something that can always be added to it later with our department.
How about consideration for like a stops or a stoplight or lights or bridge or something like that?
I guess, Jared, I don't know if you've thought about that or not. As far as a stop, you could put a pedestrian stop sign there, I guess. You know, any kind of signage would probably help as long as the people obey the signs.
I'm wondering.
Yes. Go ahead, Rachel.
Sorry, Jared. I wonder how much those solar paneled stoplights would be. You know, that is powered like a small version of that to have in that location.
Yeah. So, as far as stoplight was mentioned. I think what we're really talking about are flashers that we see, for example, on Lakeland. Those definitely are an option. They're not currently planned. However, that can be an item that's added later as well. I think that we need to construct the improvements, see what the pedestrian circulation versus cars is and where people actually go. We definitely anticipated there will be a high demand crossing at this location. So we've striped it. Certainly signage, crosswalk signage would be appropriate. You did mention also, Tom, a bridge. And sure. That at this point, I don't know that we would have enough horizontal distance between the Four Seasons unless we wrapped it around the side of the building to get enough height to go over that main drive. But that has not been contemplated for this design.
Are there any other questions from the park board members?
Well, Middleton, talking about intersections and bridges, what concerns me more with what does with these improvements, it's going to be even more increased traffic, is the intersection here where you turn into the park or you exit the park. The speed limit, I believe, is up to 55 miles an hour by the time you get there, and so many people are already up to 60. Has there been any discussion with how that traffic might be controlled, perhaps with an additional stoplight at this very crucial and popular intersection?
I would agree, Rand. I'm going to let Jared and Rob take over for here, but what I've heard back and forth from Public Works people is that road is not a city road, it's a highway road. So I think the loopholes you have to go through are a lot more difficult to try to slow that traffic down there or to put a stoplight there. And there are certain requirements that has to be checkmarked in order to get those things there. Kurt probably knows more, or Rob would know more, but we've looked into that too when we were trying to build the playground, of just people trying to cross over and come to it, and why can't we slow down that road? And we were just told I think, if I remember right, it was just a difficult process because it's not a city road, it's a highway. But I'll let someone else take the lead on that.
Yeah, Rachel, I think that's a pretty good explanation. I don't have all the answers for that. That'd probably be something for Sean to answer, but I would say that you explained it pretty as well as I could, I guess.
I would just add there too, when we have bigger events like what the Rock and Robbins does, you know, we put the signs up there and the police department puts the cones out to really start to direct the traffic to slow down and how to exit the vehicles.
Yes, I would agree that the police, Rock and Robbins, volunteers do a great job for that event to make it easy to come in and get out, because they also utilize now that southeast boat ramp road that also you can turn off. So I mean, there's only a few times where we have these major events where the traffic is bad to get the people coming in and out, as far as I know.
One, I'd echo what Rand has to say. I think a lot of kids will be traveling on their bikes to get to the playground in the future. And I know we've had a crossing guard there for years after quite a few fatalities. And I think that should be something the city is considering for safe crossing of that road. One question I have is the parking stalls, where the majority of the stalls are, it looks like about 160 stalls. Will that allow for a bus easily to move in and out and turn within a bus's radius to pick up and drop off people at Rock and Robbins? I'm assuming that's the route that they would likely take to drop off people.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jared. That was one of the same points that the committee brought up early on in the process. So we have reviewed these radiuses to make sure that buses can circulate through these parking areas.
Great. Yep.
Julie, just in response to Tom's comments about a crossing guard, from somebody who supervised that crossing guard for probably 15 years, that position, the numbers of kids biking went down. And I think anybody who works for the schools can also understand that kids just don't bike like they used to 20 years ago. Parents drop them off. And I think now with the new bike path that comes off of Ella Avenue, anybody from the west and southwest part of town would access that way. And they're just, as far as anybody coming from the east side, possibly over the walking bridge on the railroad tracks, the numbers just aren't there.
I'm just thinking we're going to have a huge rec center across the street.
Are you thinking, Tom, where the new city hall and community center would be?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with that, but that's probably a higher level of a job to tackle for not us on our committee, but for the city maybe to work with, and Sean Christensen maybe with the highway department then to look into something like that, because like I said, there are so many check marks that they have to meet in order to make that a stop, putting a stoplight there or to slow the speed down there. So, but yeah. All points.
I'd rather have it in place before someone gets hurt. So that's my thought. But yeah, that doesn't concern what we're currently doing. But if we build something that's amazing that a lot of people want to go to, I think we should plan to make sure that there's a safe way for everyone to get there.
Are there any other questions of the board?
So Jim piping in, hearing no further questions, is there a motion and a second to recommend the Invest in Wilma Robbins Island project as proposed? Who made the motion?
I'll make the motion. Andy.
Andy, Anna, is there a second?
Middleton.
Mr. Middleton has the second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Sorry about that. And opposed, the same sign. The motion is approved. So we're going to move. Jared and Rachel, thank you very much for your presentation. Appreciate that. We're all looking forward to Robbins Island, which we know is a centerpiece of Wilma right now. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you and the committee.
So moving on. The next item on the agenda is Alex Solbrick, the youth coordinator, and I'll let Rob speak to that.
All right, thanks, Jim. As we all know, that Eric Banks resigned from the position, and then we were able to go through the hiring process, and Alex Sobiek is now our new youth rec coordinator. Alex will be able to talk a little bit about herself, but just a little bit of the transition here that will happen. Alex will be in charge of doing the youth recreation family programming, and Ryan will be moving over to adult programming and the facility management for us. Alex brings a lot of energy to our department. If I want to say, she's very spunky and full of energy. And so Alex, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit more and talk about your history and some of your goals?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm excited to be here. It's been a whirlwind of a first couple of weeks of my first full-time job, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, that's for sure. So like Rob said, I just got hired on a couple of weeks ago. Before that, I was with the city as a part-time staff. I completed my degree of Recreation, Parks, and Leisure Services at Minnesota State University in Mankato. I completed that in the spring of 2019. I did an internship at the city of Chandler in Chandler, Arizona, at the Senior Center, where I completed 560 hours of internship. So I did a lot of trip and travel with the senior population and focus on senior programming. but I'm excited to bring all of my fresh knowledge, since I'm fresh out of the chute, to the city of Willmar, where I grew up and participated in recreation my whole entire life, K through 12. And I'm just excited to bring new ideas and good energy and yeah, I'm really excited.
Alex, welcome aboard to the Park and Rec Department. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim, sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Would like to add, though, too, is that, this is Becky's last Park and Rec and board meeting for us. And I just want to say thank you to Becky for many years of service. I've been with her for roughly about 20 years. We've seen a lot of faces come and go. But we've been consistent with the program. She's got a lot of knowledge. She's got a heart of gold, and we will truly miss her.
Well, I can comment on that too. I knew Becky about 40 years ago, and she had an attempt to straighten me out. It never worked, but Becky, good luck to you.
Yeah, in this middle, I'd just like to add to that, I worked with Becky for many decades, and, people like her are very hard to find. She has tremendous skills, and she's a good people person, and those kind of people are not easy to replace, especially someone that takes shorthand. But she's going to be very sorely, sorely missed.
Bill Swanson, Becky, I came to town in 1980 and met you then, and you are probably more competent now than I probably was in my many years at Willmar Community College in Ridgewater. And thank you very much for your service. And boy, will we miss your history and your input and your wisdom. So thank you very much, Becky.
Thank you.
Becky, thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. So just moving on to the next agenda item, the playground equipment course enclosure. So Rob, maybe what you'll do too is maybe address kind of the pickleball and the tennis court net situation too, because I know that you've gotten a number of calls on those, and I also have too. Is maybe you can give us some straight talks, so if people have a question for us, we can give them a straight answer.
All right, Jim. As we all know that the governor has put the stay-at-home order, and that reflects back onto our playground equipment, tennis courts, pickleball courts, ball fields, and everything. So, and the city council has adopted that ordinance as well. So we are fulfilling what the council has put out there for us. There has been discussion at the governor's level to say playground equipment is able to be used, but it is on the local government to make that decision if they would like to choose to have them closed or to have them open. We as the city decide to close our playgrounds and everything. There was a time that the governor said that the playground equipment is accessible. We reopened them for a short period of time, but we heard back from the public that we should have them closed, and we reclosed them. So Public Works was a little busy that day by tearing the tape and then taking up the signs and then putting them right back. But, in hindsight, we probably should have just kept them closed. But we heard from the public too that they wanted them open. Some of them wanted to open, but knowing how fast this could happen and spread and everything, we chose to reclose them. And that's the same thing with the tennis courts, the pickleball courts, everything like that, anything that there's going to be congregation to that we have decided, we will not be putting nets out until we get the green light from the governor and from the council. Yeah, we've been fielding phone calls on those, but that's the direction that we are going right now. So hopefully when May 4th comes, we get the green light to go and then we can get back to normalcy. Questions?
Yeah. Any questions?
Rob, how many other communities have closed parks and playground equipment? You know, by chance, or?
There's been quite a few of them that have. I mean, I think we were one of the first ones around the area to actually do it, Tom. And then, you know, we looked at Sartell started to do it, then Olivia started to do it. I believe a lot of the surrounding communities have. Now, there's different ways to look at it, too, because when we talked to the schools, they had no idea about closing their playground equipment down. Because those are some of the comments that were made that, well, the parks, the city parks are closed, but the school ones are open. So I had the conversation with Scott Wallner, and they chose to close theirs down too to be in compliance with us. So there's been some that have like totally closed them down where no one is allowed in the parks, and they've actually have some of their park and rec staff and public work staff actually at the parks talking to people about, hey, you need to be in social distancing or to remove themselves from gathering. Though that down in the metro, it's gotten to be a little bit more forceful.
I know I'm not involved with the park and rec committee anymore, but if I'm able just to say a comment to that as a general public, I just want to say I appreciate that, and I think it's the best thing for right now. Having a husband that's in healthcare, it's just if we have the tennis court nets up and someone wants to go play, that's great, but you don't have the staff of the public works cleaning off all, you know, every top of the net that everybody touches, the railings that people touch. You just don't know how many people would be using those types of facilities and then to clean them, the surfaces on it. So right now, I think it's the best thing, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Thanks, Rachel. Gary and I have actually been in conversation about the process that we need to take to clean those playground equipments. And just so everyone knows too, the public works staff is working at half the crew right now. They're doing split shifts. So that's some of the reasons why too, that a lot of this stuff isn't getting out and about as well too. They're really focusing on the safety measures for the city. So I've contacted some playground vendors and asking them what are some of the best applications to be using, because the mayor got a phone call about some community members that would like to go and clean the playground equipment. So we've got some information that we can send back to those people. Just so people know that they do not want us to be using a bleach and water solution that is actually harmful for the material of the plastic on the playground and for the fasteners. So we've contacted Hilliard's Cleaning, Chris Braun, who's our sales rep, and we've talked about what some of the best solutions that we can use. And he's got what's called a QT Plus that could be mixed with water, and we could put it on a backpack sprayer and spray the playground equipment down. The hard thing about that is, you know, the time to do it, the dollars that we would be spending to disinfect it, and to the playground vendors basically been saying, yes, we would love to be able to help you guys out, but there's really not a true answer of how to keep playground clean, because once you clean it, it only takes one touch and it's dirty per se again. So it's gonna be a daunting task to keep the playground equipment truly clean always and disinfected.
Any other questions for Rob?
See, Rob, while we're...
Andy here. Have you gotten a lot of comments about parks being closed or equipment being shut down? Is it more positive, more negative? What do you see out of the public?
Andy, when we first closed them down, we've heard some, you know, negative comments on it, but I think after more and more people got educated about what the virus is and how things are spread and everything, I think people seem to be more realistic on it. Once we reopened it for that short amount of time, and it was overwhelming the response that we got back from the community about having them closed. And so it was pretty loud and clear that we, as the city, need to listen to the community and to close those playground equipments back again. Then after that, then it's been very positive.
You've had more people say we should keep them closed and keep kids off them.
I would say that's more of a majority than the negative part.
Okay.
Julie, what I'm starting to hear from some people is the ones who would like to see them back open, they're saying that the virus is killed by sunlight, so this is ridiculous. So again, I think we need more education and just to inform the public of exactly what the facts are.
Great point, Julie. We'll get some information out for people.
You know, my Jim here, my comment might be too, is just with some of the pickleball and tennis guys, like last week when the weather got up to 65, 70 degrees, they're itching, and they, in their own minds, they think they have the social distance where one person's on one side of the net and the other one's on the other side. But again, I understand that that's a perfect condition. And I guess I concur with what the city's policy is right now until we hear, get the green light for the whole operation.
Are you allowed to play pickleball right now? Is that, or is that banned, basically? I saw the nets went up maybe the other day.
I don't know that the nets are up, but, you know, at Sperryville, some people have brought their own nets up, put their own nets out, and they have played. But I don't think the city has put up the nets at Sperryville yet. Could be wrong. I haven't been by there for a couple of days, but.
Jim, you're right. There's been no nets put out in any of the city parks.
Any other questions for Rob? Thank you, Rob. And then just going to move on to the summer, the next agenda item, the summer programming alternatives.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. You know, we're kind of in a gray area right now with our summer programming because of the stay-at-home order, you know, being on until May 4th, you know, talking with staff and everything. We still feel like if we can get the green light to go May 4th, all of our programs that would be starting June 8th would be able to go. We feel like we can still get everything in place. Staff right now is working. They're on an abbreviated schedule. They work about 10 to 12 hours a week. They're in constant communications with the coaches and the other communities to making sure that our, if they're able to go, the leagues can fire off right away. You know, we do have a backup plan if the stay-at-home order does get pushed back. Again, our goal would be to start June 8th because we got about 9 to 10 new programs that we would like to launch. You know, this spring we had a track program that was going to start and a new spring soccer program too. That unfortunately we weren't be able to have those this year because of the stay-at-home order. But you know, our backup plan is if we get pushed back into late May, early June. We've made arrangements to start right after the 4th of July for July 6th would be a startup date. And that would, you know, would be our summer programs. We would still like to open the pool if we can. I know some communities have just closed their programs and facilities down completely, but we're trying to be optimistic and being ready for our community when they need us, when we can get the green light. And then if we get pushed way back into, you know, July, it's looking like that we won't be able to do summer programs until school starts. So So we got plan A, plan B, and plan C. We want to do whatever we possibly can to get programs out to the kids and the community. Just, you know, it's just a little bit of trying times, not knowing when we can actually get outside and to start utilizing our facilities. So I just want to have a, like an open discussion, because we know that this summer is going to be different than any other summer that we've had, as far as, you know, making sure the baths are clean, you know, and being in maybe smaller groups. So the staff has recognized that and understanding that we're going to have to be totally different than what we have been before. So just want to have some feedback, comments, you know, from the board to see what your guys' thoughts about it. Because it's going to be interesting, depending on when we can get started or not.
This is Val. Rob, can you, do you feel you could run a full program if you started the 6th of July? What would be the difference in starting in June and starting in July?
Well, a lot of our, in June is a lot of when our summer camps happen, like with candy camp, volleyball camp. We try to kick the summer off with a lot of those type of camps, so then we can get those out of the way, because a lot of the gyms get resurfaced in July and August. So we would miss out on a lot of the camps if we got pushed back into July. We still think that we can run up like a 5 to 6 week program when we would, if we could start in July. So does that answer what you're?
Yeah, and you'd need to be done by that. You're looking at being done then that second week in August or before.
Right, just because we know that's when a lot of the high school sports and our staff would be heading back to college and everything. So, you know, that's kind of the magic number, is that August 15th area.
Hey, Rob, Jim here. So, you know, typically with your programming with the summer stuff, it's kind of split in half. There's usually like a first half, and then that ends like around the 4th of July. And then the second half kicks in after that up until the end of July or maybe the first week in August. So in a sense, we might be alluding to the idea that it's just that first half is might not start, but the second half could still be available.
That's correct. That's how we kind of looked at it too, because that's how our seasons broke out, you know, depending on when school gets out and everything. We usually have 3 weeks before the 4th of July break. And kind of depending on where the 4th falls, you know, do we have programming that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we start right back up right after the 4th of July for the second half, like you said. That's kind of what our benchmarks were, because I think it would be a good starting point if we just said we had to start our summer programs right after the 4th. And I've already contacted the brochure. That's probably the reason why you haven't seen one, because there would be a ton of changes with it right now if we sent it out. So Baker Printing, who does our catalog, they're under the understanding that we probably will not have a summer booklet that will get mailed. It'll be more of a digital and social media advertising with that. So we just need a couple days ahead of time to get that information to her, and then she'll be able to update all the programs, and then we can be able to get that sent out to the public.
Rob, this is Chloe.
Yes.
You talked about maybe having to rethink the way things are done with smaller groups, that type of thing. Would that include more staff or smaller, like more of the same program in smaller groups at different times? Supplies for cleaning, if you're rethinking the way that you're doing things, just a couple things that came to mind.
Yeah, we really had to look at what the participation numbers are, because it's going to be interesting to see what families are going to send their kids out to go and do these programs as well. So as far as part-time staff and rec staff, it goes by what we need for participation numbers, because some of it could be done by two or three part-time staff, depending on the programming. We're probably going to have a little bit more if the program's bigger, just to keep things clean. You know, disinfecting the bats and the helmets and the bleachers and all that type of stuff that the kids sit on when we start playing like a t-ball game per se. So there's going to be some challenges with it, and we're going to have to work through it as much as we possibly can, but still be conscious about, you know, about the budget and where we're at with staffing.
Any other questions for Rob regarding the summer programming? If not, we'll just move on to the next item, which is the coordinator reports. Ryan, would you like to start off?
Sure. So hello, everybody. Kind of give a rundown of kind of what the adult sports and some of the youth stuff still that is hopefully going to be taking place. I'm kind of in the contact with all the area towns for our third and fourth grade and fifth and sixth grade baseball league. We kind of have a meeting next Wednesday to kind of discuss on how we want to go about our season. I know a lot of communities are still wanting to do something. So it sounds like they may kind of go by, you know, what we end up doing, whether we start right away or if we have to have a half a season. We will do a half season starting in, you know, that July 6th area. A couple other things are the Timberwolves grant that I applied for. They have pushed that back a little bit, so we don't know where we stand on that grant yet. Sounds like the end of May they're going to kind of decide whether they're still going to do it or not. And same thing with the Vikings camp that is supposed to be here in June 23rd. That doesn't sound like that will be a go, but they're still hoping that maybe by May 4th some things can change and they're still able to have it. Kind of for adult sports, for our softball leagues, I would definitely still start the July 6th if we're not able to start right away, run a 6-week program or a league or a 6-week game, 6-week league, and then playoffs for two, so we'd be done by the end of August and hopefully get fall ball for softball in starting in the middle of September and finishing out in October. So I'm thinking positive. I'm trying to get everything, you know, in that, you know, we can get going, and I'm hoping that, you know, this kind of goes away. I know it'll take a little while, but hopefully in the summer and it gets nice out and we can get people out and about and get people excited to get back into the programs. So any questions?
I guess one question I have is and it's probably for each coordinator or each person is how staffing is being affected currently. And where you see that in the future. This is Tom, by the way.
So for myself, I mean, it mainly more affects our youth programs. And we have a bunch of, you know, college kids or high school kids kind of waiting in limbo, kind of deciding what we do. We have a lot of people interested in coming back. So if we could start by the June 6th, I don't think we'll have any issue finding staff. The only issue I would see is if July 6th is when we would start. I don't know how many kids are going to want to wait, you know, 3-4 weeks to start working. I don't know if they'd find other jobs elsewhere or what the case may be, but if that is the case, then it just ends up that Alex and I will have to do more, be more in the programs and be more involved in that way. So.
I can go off of what Ryan said. For staff wise, this is Alex Kobiak, by the way. I've just been in communication with our staff, kind of keeping them in the loop on what our three plans are, our plan A, B, and C. So I think just keeping them informed on that we didn't forget about them, that they're still, they're obviously really important to us, and that we didn't forget about them, and just keeping them informed is what's gonna help us.
Yeah, Tom, I would say too that, you know, with Ryan and Alex working from home right now, and Britta, you know, they got some things ahead of them that are going to be challenging for them, but they're working through them together as a team. We probably talk three or four times a week, either through text messages, email, Zoom, or anything like that. So we're staying on board and making sure that we're ready to go when the green light hits. And we just don't want to be, we want to be, you know, proactive with everything that we're doing. So.
Hi, this is Britta. I just wanted to add to that too. So I've been talking with our pool managers pretty much, if not two or three times a week, keeping them informed as what we are planning to, and we're trying to set some extra cleaning protocols and what we can do as a.
Britta, we lost you. Well, we lost Britta, but I know that she's been talking to the pool managers and trying to get, you know, the clean, like understanding the cleaning process of it, because, you know, the pool's a little bit different.
Can you
know.
Hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, sorry. Where'd you lose me? Anyway, we've been working on trying. What?
Just keep going, Britta.
What I was saying is that we're just trying to add our an additional cleaning regimen for staff, and in addition to what they do on the daily, and just trying to keep it safe and keep it fun for people when that pool does get opened.
So is there any other questions for Ryan? If not, Britta?
Britta, sure.
Can you,
so,
yeah, sure. Can you? Are you still there, Britta? You're kind of coming back and forth. Hey, so let's skip over Britta. We'll come back to her and we'll go to Alex.
All right.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, Britta, you want to go?
Alec, you need to straighten out your little pal Britta there for us. So, hey, you know, Britta, you got bumped. Alex, you're in.
Sorry, Britta. Since this is my first few weeks here in this position, I've been busy creating virtual recreation, per se, for youth. Ryan and I last week created a fun soccer video out at the Civic Center. So I edited that and got that published and put it on the Facebook page. But I think right now it's just interaction and putting out ideas for people to do recreation at home. Like I said before, I've been in contact with our staff, letting them know that we're still here, that we're still thinking about them, and remaining optimistic for what's to come, whether that's we execute plan A or we have to push it back to August with plan C. But I've just been preparing, making lots of program plans and making up disinfecting protocols and things like that that we have to do in order to remain all of our participants and our staff safe moving forward. I've been in contact with coaches regarding camps, if they would still be interested in running camps, even if it does get pushed back, and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. They're really interested in continuing those camps if they were to get pushed back, which is really encouraging. Yeah, just doing what I can with what I have, with where I'm at.
I'd just like to add too, if you guys haven't seen our Facebook page, you know, the staff has gotten really creative with some of the things that they've done as far as, you know, the crossword puzzles, the videos that they're doing. I know that they're going to do a football one tomorrow. So they've been real creative with just trying to get some activity that kids can do at home as well. So kudos to them.
Any questions for Alex? Hearing none. Britta, are you back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We got you.
Okay, good. We'll see how long this time. I've been staying busy working with, we're trying to get our garden open at the community center, hopefully within the next couple, hopefully week, if the weather stays nice now as we approach the weekend here. We hope to get that plotted by end of this week. We have 11 plots available. If anybody's interested in having one this year, just let me know. They're $20. Also been working with the pool staff, like I mentioned before, and keeping them informed as, like Alex and Ryan are doing, they're creating plans A, B, and C. We are also creating our plans A, B, and C, in regards to keeping, people safe when we open, what we're going to be doing to keep cleaning on top of our game for that. And then I've also been talking with Lee, who is the maintenance man for the pool as well, in regards to what he recommends and what he could do and offer in regards to taking on some of the extra cleaning that we'll be approaching. With the bikes, they're all now at the arena. So, and the locks are there too. So hopefully we can get those going too. Again, I've been in contact with two people from Bike MN and then also from Nice Ride, which is the bike share that's in Minneapolis, just to kind of see what they're doing in regards to keeping riders and users safe, what extra cleaning protocols they're doing, and just trying to prepare and see what our options are, if that means we have staff go and clean each bike each day, each hour, what does that look like, what kind of chemicals they're using to clean the bikes. Yeah, so it's been kind of a lot of research and trying to prepare as much as I can for what's to come and just hope for the best.
Good. Any questions for Britta? Hey, so Britta.
Julie, I got a question.
No, Julie, go ahead, please. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As far as the cement work that was going to happen there, did that get done, or and also all of the anything with the I call it the platform, whatever, the deck, did all of that get done?
I think they were having Kurt, thought that I saw staff out there earlier, but I'm not sure what they were working on.
So I've been in contact with Global Specialties. They're a contractor out of the cities. They got the contract for the plaster repair at the pool. And they started peeling off the tile last fall. And then as soon as the weather hit, then they put it on hold. And I just contacted them here last week. And they were planning on getting back to me in 2 weeks. And it all depends on how the weather is. If it's decent out where they can string together a bunch of days without bad weather, they'll start on that probably after 2 weeks. So they'll start working on the pool again. And so it's, I don't know what percentage it's done. I haven't discussed that with the contractor, but I know that they got a good start on it last fall, and they were still planning on a completion date. I think it was like, it was like the first part of June, or it was Memorial Weekend is what it was, I believe, or that week, the week of Memorial Weekend.
Okay, I thought I remembered something about we were going to be like the first ones out of the chute in the spring, so I figured that should be coming up.
Yep. I've been in contact with them, and like I said, what they need to do is have some nice warm days to put that plaster on without it freezing.
Hey, Britta, Jim here. Just a comment. I'm sure that some of the senior citizen members enjoy the social environment out at the community center, and it's probably pretty tough because there isn't really any kind of replacement avenues for them. So,
They've been in contact with me. They get bored.
So again, I'm alluding to the fact that they're probably itching to get back in and start chit-chatting with the rest of the gang.
Yeah, I know. That's two of us. But no, like I said, some of them do have my contact, and I get my weekly phone calls to them and from them and make sure they're all still good and getting nourishment and taking their vitamins and sanding their 2 feet. And no, so they do. They're antsy and very bored at home and ready to be back. And I miss them myself. They're a good joy to have and buzz in the building, and hopefully soon.
Well, congratulations to you for massaging them, because that's a nice gesture. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Jim Middleton?
Yes.
One other thing before we leave the coordinator's report, and this comment is for Britta and Kurt, and it's just bringing up something that I had brought up at an earlier meeting, and that is what I perceive as the importance in a bike-friendly community of continuing to look at the importance of a bike lane on the west side of Lakeland Avenue between Trot down to the YMCA, where there is a bike path. Right now, if bikers are trying to navigate that section, their choice is the sidewalk on the east side, which is not good. So I think this was mentioned before, and I think Kurt's aware of it. Yes.
This is Gary Manter. What they're going to do on Lakeland Drive is they're going to install bike lanes going north from Olina Avenue by the school there all the way up to Highway 12. So it's going to be on the east side of the road. So bikers will have that safe crossing flashing across to get to the path that goes on the west side of the road by the YMCA. It's not going to be installed on the west side of the road. It's on the east side of the road. And then it's going to tie into the path that's part of the project that goes out towards Pheasant Run and on South Side Highway 12.
Well, very good. That's good to hear, but that's a pretty narrow roadway and speeds are high.
Well, man, this is not a road. This is a path that's going on the west, on the east side of the road. Like there's an existing sidewalk there now. They're taking the sidewalk out and making it a bike path through there. So it's not on the roadway itself. It's on the opposite side of the road. And there's a safe crossing by the school there with the light that you can activate across the road there.
Got it. Thank you.
So was there any other questions for Britta? If not, hey, Rob, did you have any comments that you wanted to share at this time?
I'm good right now, Jim.
Okay, good deal. So then we'll just move on to the board announcements. Is there anybody from the board that has any comments that they'd like to share? Sounds like we're pretty silent, seeing that there's no board announcements. Is there a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting? Everyone left. Did I hear a motion?
I'll motion, Andy.
Motion by Andy, and a second by?
I'll second. Tom.
Second by Tom. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned, and just a note, by all means, Rob will send out a notice, but our next meeting will be next Wednesday, May 20th at 1:30. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe, and see you in a month or so.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Again, I would just like to say to Becky, thank you for all your years of service, and good luck. Thank you very much.
Becky, thank you for your service and good luck.
Thank you.